We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. It's time to take time for Jesus. God has said we can have victory in the name of Jesus. And I praise him and thank him for victory in that precious name that he went and done for us that we could not do for ourselves. I give him the glory and the honor for it, because at the time that he went to Calvary for you and I, it was the just for the unjust. You and I, my friend, was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We had need of a Savior, and he provided that salvation by going to Calvary's cross and taking yours and my sins and nailing them to the cross and bearing them for you and I. Without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. So he's paid the debt that you and I owed, but he didn't owe it, but he paid it for you and I, that we could go free from the sins and that we could have liberty and life through him and through that precious blood that he shed. So we just praise him today and thank him for his wonderful love. And as we endeavor to lift up that precious name of Jesus, we just give God the glory and the praise for every opportunity that we can lift up the name of Jesus and give him praise and honor. And we hope that also that you do. And we just want you to bear with us and as we endeavor to bring forth this something that God has laid on our heart, and whereby that we could understand that the just paid our unjust sin debt, that we owed it, but he paid it. We couldn't pay it, but it taken something other that was righteous, pure, without sin, without a blot or blemish, and it taken the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That was the only price that could take care of yours and my sin debt. Adam got us into sin. He disobeyed one commandment, but we've no doubt we've all disobeyed all of them. But nevertheless, Jesus came into the world to die on Calvary's cross. Give him praise and honor. He's worthy of praise, more than probably you and I can give him. But honor him. I just encourage you to read your Bible and look to him, because he's the only one that can bring forth salvation into you and I, because he's the one that paid our sin debt. So we're going to endeavor to try to bring forth some scriptures here to you, and you'll find them in Matthew 27:16, Mark 15:9-10, and 11, 12, and 13, and Luke 23:1, and John 19:1. It will give you some outline is what we're saying, that he was just. We were unjust, but the just took our unjust on him, our sins, in other words, and nailing them to the cross. Therefore, the just was died for the unjust, because we could not do it ourselves. So we just praise him today and thank him. So we're going to endeavor to bring forth what God has laid on our hearts here. And my wife's got something other here, and I'm going to turn it over to her and let her take care of that part, and then we'll get back to you there. And we just pray that you would help us here to praise and to lift up the Lord. We're not in it for monetary things, my friend. We're in it to win a soul for the kingdom of God. We just hope that you too will come to realize that how dear that salvation is to us, and how in these days that we live, how much we need to give God praise and glory and honoring him and asking him to come into our life through repentance, not by just raising your hand and saying, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and walk in the same old road. Through repentance, Jesus told them, except they repent, they will all die in their sin. So we got to understand that if we read the Word of God, we will find out that true repentance is right in the lids of the Bible. So here's my wife, and let her do for you what God has laid on her heart there. Here's my wife.
Well, I just praise the Lord again for this opportunity to lift up the name of Jesus and to share what the Lord has laid on my heart to give you. And I said before, if you would like a copy or like anything that I read, you can. I'll give you my email address and our mailing address. And I just want to thank those that are in Australia and London and Canada and all the Virgin Islands and all those that we've gotten emails from. I appreciate them very much. It doesn't take but just a few minutes, you know, and say, hey, we appreciate you, or we don't appreciate you. It's all right with us, you know, we got broad shoulders and everything. But I just want to share with you this afternoon, it's Compton31@yahoo.com or SallyGCP4@yahoo.com. Or you can write to us at Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And as I always say, today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow may not come for any of us. I just thank the good Lord above that He's looking down on us. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us, but He would go with us. As Brother Compton said, today is a day of salvation. Repent, and or you shall likewise perish. And that is what I want to leave with you today. Repent or you'll perish. You can't just raise your hands and repeat after somebody a sinner prayer. You got to repent from your heart. Be godly sorrow for what you've done. And God will forgive you. And He'll take away your sins and put you on a new route. Now, I'm promising you it's not going to be a soft bed or anything like that. You're going to have trials. You're going to have troubles. Look at a rose bush and you'll see the beautiful flowers. But if you touch it or you put your nose too close to the thorns, whatever, you smell it, it's going to get you. May God bless you. Here's Brother Earl.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know as anybody doesn't have problems in their life, from the poorest to the richest, from the janitor to the president. We all have our problems in life from one time or another. But I want you to know that God came into this world to die for us, and He said He would go with us. Even when the trial seems like that is impossible to bear, He said He would go with us even unto the end of the world. But you got to trust Him, my friend. You can't expect Him to let you go and you do everything and is sinful and they taking care of the whatever the god of this world, the devil himself, puts on you, and you expect Him to love you for it and everything. Of course, He loved you. He loved you from the start, before you ever was. He died for our sins, and Him only can forgive sins. Not I or no other man can forgive your sins, but Jesus Christ, God came in the flesh in order to die for our sins. And so Him is the one you got to go to and lift up His name, and with praise and honor in Him and in faith in what He done at Calvary for you and I, that we accept the price that He paid for us and give Him honor and glory, and be godly sorrow for the sins that we have committed in this thing. My friend, no man is born in this world without sin. The Bible says that we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and our God had to come and save us from our sin. He had to come and pay the price for you and I that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Doesn't mean that you're going to have everything your heart desires in this world here, but an abundant life is the way I look at it and think about it, is the promise that He gave to us if we will listen to Him and obey Him and repent and serve Him and give Him praise and honor. He promised us life eternal. And He promised us that everything that we could possibly desire to have would be ours when the new world and the new heaven is brought forth. But you got to repent. You've got to come to him. You got to be godly sorrow and accept the atoning price in faith, believing upon the finished works of Calvary and the man called Jesus, and accept him. If we look into the scriptures, that we would find in Matthew there that when the high priest and all of them, after Judas had betrayed the Lord and sold him for 30 pieces of silver, and I wonder how many of us have sold him for a lot less or even for more, and sold ourselves out like Esau for a little bowl of soup, sold his birthright. Many of us today had sold our birthright and for a lot less and or for maybe even more. But Jesus came to even redeem us from our sins and bring us forth. But when Judas went forth and betrayed the Lord with a kiss, many people today go to church and on Sunday to be seen and maybe to see or see who's there or whatever, but do they go there for the purpose to serve and to worship the true and the living God, that they may gain this crown of life that he has promised us? Or are we going to go and just make a mockery out of it and then wind up in dying and going into the place of torment? It's up to you and I, my friend. It's time that we begin to realize that the days are coming upon us and they're not getting any better. All kinds of trouble is happening and everything. But Judas, when he served the Lord, he was a man that carried the bag, in other words. He had the money. He was a money grubber, you might say. But he wanted to money. And a lot of people in this world today have sold their birthright out for money. And it will get you nothing but torment in hell. Judas went and 30 pieces of silver sold the Lord out, and he went to his own place, according to the scripture. He went out and hung himself, and I just myself personally don't believe that a person that goes and kills himself, no matter how he does it, that he's going to have eternal life, because he destroyed something other that he cannot give. And God is the only one is a life giver, and he's the only one that can save life. So when he sold him out for 30 pieces of silver there, he signed his death warrant. In other words, he sold his birthright for 30 pieces of silver. I want you to think about it. When they brought brought Jesus to Pilate there, Pilate picked up on some of their conniving ways there. The high priest and these here that brought him up there and accused him of all kinds of things. And Pilate picked up on it, and he knew by envy and strife that what they were trying to do. He didn't find no fault in him, but yet and still the Jewish priest and those there in the synagogue wanted to see him crucified. They want to get rid of him because they felt like he was a threat to them. You see, to start with, he went out on the shores of Galilee and even chose a tax collector to be one of his apostles. He did not go into the synagogues with them that thought that they didn't need salvation. He went to them that knew they needed salvation. But them in the synagogue, the high priest and all, they wanted to go back to the place and say, oh, we have Abraham. We're the seed of Abraham. We're righteous. We don't need this and we don't need that. We got it all. But they was badly wrong, my friend. Their righteousness was as filthy rags, and there was like dead men's bones in a white sepulchre, been washed and clean. And Jesus knew this, but when they brought him up there and began to accuse him of this and that, blaspheming and being a Beelzebub and all those things that they accused him of, and saying that he was God, well, he was God. He didn't deny anything. He just said, told Pilate, Pilate asked him, he said, are you the king of the Jews? And he said, thou sayest I am. Well, he did say it. But many times that Jesus showed and proved many, many times over again that he could do whatever it was necessary for them to sustain life. He fed the 5,000. He healed the sick. He opened the blind eyes. He raised the dead. He healed the leprosy. All these things that was wrote about him before he ever came into the world as man to die for him. And he come there to do this, to show himself that he was able to take care of the people if they would allow him. He went into Jerusalem there, and he preached in the synagogues, and they went about, and a lot of times they went there and they heard him. And these things, my friend, that we need to understand, if we will read what the Word of God says and let the Spirit of God speak to our heart, we will find that there's no salvation in no other name. But the high priest and those thought that they had everything that was necessary because they claimed to be the seed of Abraham. Well, Jesus told him before Abraham was, he said, I am. He was the one that called Abraham out of amongst all of his people and told him to go into the place to where he would show it. He was the one that told him out of his seed would all nations be blessed. But they couldn't see that because they had too much pride. And the way that happened to Lucifer, his pride got him cast out. And a lot of people today, pride is going to cause them to lose out because they cannot accept the Word of God for their salvation. They cannot look unto the Bible and read it and believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because false teachers have come along, false messiahs they call them. They called in the name, but Jesus said, I come in my own name, and you received him not. I even come to my own, but my own received me not. But he gave power unto them that would receive him as to being sons of God. My friend, today it takes a new birth. It takes a birth to bring a child into this world from his mother's womb, to whether it be son or daughter. It takes a new birth to bring us into the kingdom of God, to be one of God's children by the new birth. As Nicodemus wanted to know, could he go the second time into his mother's womb? And Jesus told him if he couldn't understand real things or carnal things, he'd never be able to understand the spiritual things. My friend, it's by the Spirit of God, not by power and a might, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord. So we need to understand that there, when they brought him up to Pilate there to judge him, Pilate made it clear that he didn't find no fault in him. What harm has he done? What sin or what crime has he done? He didn't find any fault in him, but yet still they decided that they wanted to get rid of him, so they cried out that time of the year that was just before Passover, that it was a custom there that they would release one that from prison. And so they cried out for Barabbas, even to the high priest. They should have known, but they didn't. It was wrote in the book of the Psalms. It was wrote in Isaiah. It was wrote in all the other prophets told about him when he was going to come and how it was going to be, but they didn't believe it because they had pride. They didn't want nobody else to take their place. Well, that's what they Lucifer wanted to do, is take the place of God. There's people today that's still trying to claim that they are the Messiah, and every one of them went down the tube. My friend, it's time we got to realize that the Word of God is true. And if we ain't stood on the sound foundation and built our house is going to fall. As Jesus told them, he said, hey, dig down and build the foundation of the house, build it upon a rock, and when the winds and the storms and the water rain came, it stood. But if they just built it on the sand, on false teachings and false doctrines, and on another foundation which no other can be laid than Jesus Christ and him crucified, it's not going to stand, my friend. It's going to crumble and fall, and he said great is going to be the fall. It's a lot of people that's come down the road. If you just check back with the man out there in Texas, got a lot of people killed because of his foolishness. One man got over there in Johannesburg and carried a bunch over there and got them to drink poison Kool-Aid, and many others have come along the way saying they're somebody important and got a lot of people hurt and killed and otherwise and lost their souls because they sold their birthright out to the false teachings and false doctrines, trying to get rich plan and these things. God didn't come into this world to give us riches untold of this world's goods. He came to bring forth salvation. But he said he would bring us into a place of where even the street is gold and we'd have everything that we possibly could have. But he didn't promise us all these things that the world is trying to achieve today. But they've come along and therefore when they brought Jesus to Pilate and Pilate seen seen through their scheme, but he went along with them. He cried out there. He said, "What will I do with your king?" He said, "We have no king except Caesar." And the Jewish people today are still suffering that. He said, well, he taken water and he poured on his hands and he washed it. He said, "I washed the blood. I'm free from this man's blood." He said, "Let his blood be on us and our children's children." And therefore, it's still there today, my friend. The things that were in that they denied the God of creation, their Messiah, they rejected him and threw him out, had him crucified. And you'll notice they carried him outside the city. One place the Bible says that wherein that he was crucified outside the city, and it's called Sodom and Egypt and all these things that's noted to be sin. They was full of it. Yet they claimed to be God's children. They claimed to be the seed of Abraham, but yet they had sin in their hearts. So claiming to be something and not being anything is one thing. And a lot of people have claimed a lot of things that they didn't have, but they said they did, but the truth comes out, it makes it hurt them when they find out the truth. And the truth of the matter is that when we stand before God on that day of judgment, and we all going to, and he's going to look at us, and when he says, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you," that means that you didn't have God in your life, and he's going to cast them out. But if he says, "Enter into my rest," or "gather them into my barns," in other words, then you'll know that you had something other working for you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. We got to figure out what we're going to do on the hereafter. What are we going to do? Are we going to serve God and have life eternal? Or are we going to deny him as they did and wind up in cast into outer darkness? The Jewish people denied him, but they're going to come back. They're going to come to the place. They're going to suffer a little while longer, but they're going to be a remnant's going to be saved, at least 144,000 of them, and some of these people have got these this teaching going around that they belong to the 144,000. My friend, them was born again Jews. I mean, absolutely naturalized Jews. It's not anything to do with these denominational people that goes around and claiming that they're with the 144,000. Now, I'm not a born natural born Jew, but I've been born again by the water and of the Spirit. And if you want to call me a Jew, reborn Jew, or whatever, that's all right. But I don't claim to be one of them with 144,000 because they're natural Jews. But I want you to think about, my friend, that if you hadn't been born again, whether you're Greek, Gentile, or whatever, you need to be born again because they are going to have to come the same way that you and I did through the door. And Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the door." So what are you going to do? Ain't no window to climb in at, ain't no back door, so we got to go in through Jesus Christ. Him and him only has got salvation to give to us because he paid the price for us. When they brought him up there and Pilate there in Matthew 27, and 22, Pilate said unto him, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And they all said unto him, "Let him be crucified." See, the just was given for the unjust. We were all unjustful. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. When Adam put us in the sinful world in sin, when he disobeyed one, we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But then he said, and the governor said, "By what evil has he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate seen that he couldn't prevail nothing, but they rather a tumult, and made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children. But release he Barabbas unto them." And when he had scourged Jesus and delivered unto him to be crucified. You see, Barabbas was a man of sin. He killed Roman soldiers, thought that that would be the way that he could get away from Rome. But that was not the way that God intended for it to be. He came to save them from their sins. And he didn't come to kill nobody, but they took him and slew him on a cross. But they wanted Barabbas. Barabbas was a murderer. He was a thief. See, he was the unjust. But there it was. Jesus was just. And Pilate made the statement from this just man. "My hands are clean," in other words, from the blood of this just man. But they said, "Give us Barabbas." See, they cried out. And many people today, without just saying those exact words, but they are turning into the things of this world and worshiping this idols, they call them, and these things like that there, and they go to them places, and all the pleasures of life that they can possibly get to fulfill the lust of the flesh, and they're denying this man called Jesus to be a part of their life. Oh, they might say they do, but if they put you in jail or arrested you for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to make you guilty? I don't know. It's something other that, if they tried, it might prove to show how many of them that may not be what the Christian that they think they are. And it may be some of them that some people think that hadn't been born again or are not Christians. They may be surprised to find out that there was evidence to prove they were, but none to prove that they weren't. So, my friend, it looks to me like that we need to get right with God. We need to read what the Bible has to say and repent of our sins. We need to get to the place to where we give God praise and worship, gathering together and forsaking not the assembling together, being born again of the water and of the Spirit, accepting him as our Lord and Savior, and giving him praise and honor, looking to him to be the author and the finisher of our faith, because this world is teeter-tottering on destruction. And the only one that we're going to have to answer to is the Lord God of glory, Jesus Christ himself. He created the heavens and the earth and all the fullness thereof. Everything is, he created. There's nothing new. Even though the scientists and they got these telescopes that'll look further into space than we've ever looked before, said they found some new planets and new this and new that. It's been there all the time, my friend. There's nothing new in the heavens or under the heavens or in the sea. Look at all these things that he spoke about, that the end of time would come, and it's going to come, that the signs are upon us. And the only escape that you and I are going to have, our only hope, is going to have to be in Christ Jesus, the just for the unjust. He paid yours and my sin debt. He paid it there on Calvary with his own life and through his body. They lashed him out until the flesh on his back was hung down over his buttocks. They taken him and stripped him down, crown of thorns on his head, and took him out, and he bare his own cross up Golgotha's hill, and they nailed him to a cross, and they done all these cruel things to him. I can't imagine any other death could be any worse than being nailed to a cross and left there to die. You didn't know they fixed them there, and when they had them there, that they would sometimes it'd be days before they would die, because they would push themselves up and catch a breath. But the way it wound up, that they'd break their legs where they couldn't push, and it bring death on because they couldn't push themselves up, and they suffocated in their own body, just went without breath, and he couldn't breathe. My friend, they didn't break a leg in Jesus. They pierced his side, and forthwith come blood and water. But that blood that he shed paid yours and my sin debt. The crown he wore on his head, they crowned him there, mocking at him to be king. Well, he is king. He's king of them all. He's Lord and master of all. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. There's no other one that can do for you and I what he has already done for us. No king that has ever been elected by a man, no president, nobody else. But God himself was the only peer there that he come into this world through a little girl named Mary. Now, Mary's not deity. You go to calling on her for salvation and for her to pray for you. The dead knows nothing. Mary died when her allotted time was come, but Jesus is alive. They hung him on the cross and he died, but he came forth the third day as he spoke he would. He came forth and he's alive forevermore. But Mary still waits upon that first resurrection to where she'll be called up from the dead. My friend, Mary can't help you, and you go into praying to her and to the Pope and all them people. Ain't but one salvation in but one name, and that's in Jesus Christ. No other name given where a man can be saved by but the Lord Jesus Christ. He's King of kings, Lord of lords. And in him, there's the only thing that we can have is salvation. In him, there's all that we need. We'll just trust in him. The scribes and the Pharisees, and many of them over in Mark, they felt the same way. They come to him there, and they denied him there again. See, the scripture says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let it be established. And so in Matthew, it was come there, and Matthew wrote about it. In Mark, in the 15th chapter, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13th verse, he wrote about his suffering, his dying on the cross. He wrote about it, and he come over there to Luke 23:1. He in 18:21, he wrote about his crucifixion, the just for the unjust. We were unjust, but he was a just. He died for you and I. He was the just that died for you and I, the unjust. Barabbas was unjust man, but they wanted him above the man called Jesus. Pilate knew that it was because of envy. He knew that their plot was there, but he had to give the wish to the people, and that's what they desired. They desired a thief and a murderer above and beyond the King of kings and the Lord of lords. They chose this with a loud voice, crucify him, but to give us Barabbas. I want you to understand that Barabbas was an unjust man, and he took his place. I know you've probably seen some of these movies that they've come out with this here and that and one thing or another. I don't know how much of that's true. I don't know where they got all of it from. They made it up as they went along, and Barabbas was supposed to have suffered a long time and in the sulfur mines according to the movie and everything. I got no scripture to back that up and everything. So I doubt very seriously. Hollywood made a bunch of money off of it, and a lot of us went and died, paid to see that. I didn't, but it come on the TV, and I watched it to see how much comparison to the Word of God it was, and I found very little that comparison to the Word of God that stood truthfully. But my friend, if we go and live in the world, we're of the world, but we're in the world, but we don't have to be a part of the world. We can be separated. Jesus prayed for the apostles. He said, other. I've kept them in thy name. And I ain't asking you, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but keep them in the world. They're in the world, but they're not of this world. But my friend, today we got to realize that there was an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, stands in yours and my behalf as a lawyer would before the judge of judges. He stands there and pleads our case. He knows who you are. He knows who I am. He knows his own. He knows the ones that have accepted him and the ones have been born again. He's not going to be fooled by your righteousness, because our righteousness is but filthy rags. It's going to have to put on the righteousness of God. We're going to have to come to him and tell him that we're godly sorrow for our sins and turn about. Start serving him and looking to him for salvation, because you can't save yourself. I can't. You can't. I can't save you. You can't save me. But Jesus came that he would for salvation of yours and my soul. That's why I encourage you to read the Word of God. Read it and ask God to give you the understanding, to open your mind to it and your heart to receive it there. Because there's no other way we can make it, my friend, except through Jesus Christ. There's no other way, no other name, no other way that we can go except through the door. And that's Jesus Christ. He's the true shepherd. He's the one that died for us. He said he goes before his sheep, and he would lead them into green pastures and by still waters. You want to get into the rest of God, you're going to have to be born again. You're going to have to accept him as king and Lord of your life. You can't go around in the world and just do any old way you want to and say that, well, I'm going to make it whether I want to or not. That's a lie the devil put into somebody's mind, and that's the way they're going to go, is down in defeat by believing the god of this world, which is Lucifer. He was the most beautifulest angel. The Bible says he was perfect in all his pipes until deceit was found in him, and he got to be where he thought he was better than anything. Because of his beauty, it let him deceive him. And he said, I'll descend above the Most High. And he got cast down. And they had a battle in heaven. They cast him out. Then they had another battle, and they cast him out to the earth. And there's where he is today, making havoc of them that would listen to him. And he'll bring them down to the, as the old saying goes, they used to, when they would lead sheep to the slaughter, they'd have an old Judas goat to lead him into the slaughterhouse, and the sheep would follow him in there, but he'd go out on the other side and go lead some more back, but the sheep suffered the slaughter, the killing. My friend, if we began to let this old Judas goat, the devil, lead you into the destruction of hell, he knows his time is close. He knows that he's running out. He knows his future. He knows that he's going to be cast into hell. But, my friend, you don't have to go with him. Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. And you say, well, I believe in God. The devil believes also and trembles. You believe, do you tremble? But he can't repent. He's went too far. And you can also go too far, too. Or I could go too far and do what them damn set away with him. Crucify him. A lot of people's doing that all over again every day of their life when they're not receiving the Lord as their Savior. They're saying away with him. I've got other things I need to do. I'm having too much fun, or I've got a big party I'm going to. I'm going to be American Idol. I'm going to be this, and I'm going to do this, and one thing or another. Putting that first before they even consider God, and probably don't even consider God even then. But when it comes time to lay down and die, some people have looked back. They tell me that your whole life flashes before you. I don't know. I've heard some people say that they died, but they brought him back to life. He said, I didn't see nothing and I didn't hear nothing. But yet some people says they seen a great light. But he said the dead know nothing. So you take it from that. I don't believe a person, when he's dead, he's going to be able to see anything or know anything according to the Bible. The dead know nothing. But my friend, there's going to be awakening of the dead in Christ first, and they're going to come alive. They're going to come from corruption to incorruption, and them that are remained to be alive shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, from mortal to immortality, and we shall meet the Lord in the air. But now then the second death, or the second resurrection, is going to be when the white throne judgment, and they stand before God, and they go going to have to suffer the death again, because they're going to be cast into hell along with the false teachers, false prophets, and with the old devil himself. So it's time we take into consideration, where will you spend eternity? Where do you plan to spend eternity? Today is the day of salvation, my friend. We ain't, none of us got the promise of tomorrow. So if you've got any thought about serving God, don't put it off. Let me encourage you, accept it today. And I'm not going to tell you to raise your hand and pray, Lord Jesus, come into your life, your heart, and you on your way. I got a little better sense than that, but I would ask you and tell you, find you an altar somewhere or another side your bed and really fully repent and crying out to God and let him know that you're sorry for your sins, and give him the praise and glory and ask him to forgive you sincerely, and turn around, turn from your sinful ways, and let God come into your life and lead and direct you and bring you to the throne of judgment there. And he'll say, welcome in. But if you come to the throne of judgment with sin in your life and all around, he's going to say, depart from me, I know you not. So it's up to you and it's up to me. I've chose my way. I've chose to serve the Lord. Been for a long time, but that's neither here nor there. But nevertheless, let me encourage you to call on the name of the Lord in repentance, as he said, that they need to repent. And if they don't repent, he said, except you repent, you're dying your sin. You see, he paid yours and my sin debt. The just suffered the death on the cross. All of that abuse that he suffered for you and I, he done it because he loved us. And we show our love to him by serving him, worshiping him, giving him honor and praise, gathering together with his people there, the ones that's been born again, worshiping him in spirit and in truth, and looking to him, glorifying, raising him up, lifting up his name in praise and song there, listening to the word of God, believing and trusting in him. Therefore, then we can have that assurance that he's with us. If we've been born again, Christ in us, the hope of glory. If he's not in us, the Spirit of God is not in us, then he's going to say, you're none of mine. But my friend, we need to be born again. It's time we begin to realize that the days are running close to the end. All of the things that are happening in this world, the disasters are going across the nations, and all these things that are happening. If you read your Bible and just let the Spirit of God teach you what it really means, then you will understand that the days are numbered and they're getting fewer and fewer. It's time that we need to call upon the Lord and repent, because who knows? Some of them people that's got all this destructive devices of war may push the button any time. When old Lucifer gets them hold of them just right and gets their mind so warped that they think they can destroy everybody else and they'll have the world to themselves and ain't got sense enough to know they destroy themselves too. The devil is out seeking that he may devour. And he's out as a roaring lion. And he's seeking to kill and destroy. Jesus came, he came into this world to save sinners such as you and I. He brought forth there and to give us salvation and eternal life. But it's up to you and I to whether we receive him as our personal Savior, or we just go ahead the old way the world wants you to go and just do whatever and think we're going to make it. My friend, we can't do it. You need to be born again. The devil will sit back and laugh at you, but he knows that his destruction is coming as well as them that follows him. He's the God of this world, the prince of this world. The Bible speaks about it. So we need to get on to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and repent. Ask him to come in our life to forgive us of our sin. Let him apply that precious blood. If you read in your scriptures there that when the children of Israel was in Egypt's bondage, Egypt represents sin and corruption, but they were there in bondage. And when the Lord got ready to bring them out by the hand of Moses, he told them to kill the lamb the 14th day, and they said, take the lamb and put it in there, bring it up, and kill the lamb and take his blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The firstborn of Egypt died, my friend, all them that was not behind the doorpost with the blood, lamb's blood on it, because he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And when he came, and he knew that this would be a part of the plan of salvation, he himself allowed them to nail him to a cross, and his blood was shed for yours and my sin. The just for the unjust. He gave his life. He was pure, and the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God himself put on the robe of flesh and came to where he could die for you and I. So why not give him praise and glory? Why not accept him to be our Lord and our Savior? He's the only hope that we have. You ain't going to get out of this world alive. You're going to be changed. Even if you stand to be alive at the coming of the Lord, this old earthly body is going to deteriorate, fall away. It's going to be a spiritual body. It's going to meet the Lord. So the old earthly body is going to deteriorate. So if you're sins is so bad and everything, and you don't give God glory and haven't repented, where do you think you're going to be? He said would cast into outer darkness. Only them that have the blood over the doorpost was saved from the death angel. Only the ones that have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to their sins of their heart's door, and all them that ask forgiveness and the blood of Jesus cleansed us from our unrighteousness, they're the only one that's going to reap eternal life. All others is going to be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. We need to realize, my friend, that the days are running short. Jesus is coming soon. It's time we take into consideration. That's why I asked you so strong and encourage you as much as I possibly can. Read your Bible. See what it has to tell you. Don't believe everything that you may hear somebody else said. Read it for yourself and see firsthand. And ask God to come to help you with it, with the understanding of it. He'll help you with it. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, will come into your life if you repent. And he will lead and guide you into all truth. He won't mislead you. There's been a lot of preachers and a lot of other people that's come and said this and said that and led a lot of people astray because they claimed they knew it all and they would never check the Bible for themselves, and they followed what they said. Some of them said, well, if it was good enough for Grandpa, it's good enough for me. Well, Grandpa might have made it and Grandpa might not have made it. But what about you? You don't know. You ain't got that part yet. I haven't got that part. I assumed that my granddad was and my mother and all of them. I believe they were God-fearing people. But I haven't got to their place yet. And they're in the place of waiting upon the coming day of God. And we'll see to where they are resurrected in the first resurrection, or it'll be in the second one. I pray and hope that it'll be in the first one. But I don't know that, because God only knows the hearts of all men. And he said he knows them. And they're all wicked and devious, all sin. But he came to save us from our sins, and not in our sins, but from our sins. You can't raise your hand and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and say you on your way to heaven and still doing the same old thing you've been doing all the time, And that's where the foolishness is, my friend. If you let a man tell you that and you believe that, then you are no better off than he is. And he's no better off than you are because he lied to you. And all liars will have their part in the lake of fire, according to the word of God. But I want you to think about it. It's time we got our act together, you might say. Got our life straightened out, repent from our sins, and give God praise and glory, and let the Spirit of God come into our life, lead and guide us and direct us into the path of righteousness for his name's sake, because that's the only name that's going to help us any. Ain't nobody else's name. You can call on Grandma, Grandpa, and me, or whatever. But I can't save you. Mom, Dad, and Grandpa, they couldn't save you. Most of us is already, granddads and grandmas, a lot of them's already gone, but I know mine is, and I'm the only family out of seven. I'm the only one left. But, hey, I don't know. I hope that all the time that I keep praying, the Lord, when we come together on that day, I hope that all will be there. As the song says, that will the fast circle be unbroken. I hope that I will join together again. But there's one thing about it. If there's any missing, we won't know it, because the old things will be done away with. Them that we know, if they don't make it, we won't know it, because if we did, sorrow would be there. And God said he would wipe away all tears from our eyes, and there'll be no sorrow, no more pain, or no more hunger, no more suffering in that new heaven and earth that he said he was going to create, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So it's going to take born again of the water and of the Spirit, being baptized in that precious name of Jesus, and accepting him to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and wherein then accepted he was the just that paid for yours and my sin debt, where we were unjust. The just was given for the unjust. My friend, that's the only way it could be. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world died on Calvary's cross that you and I could have life and have it more abundantly. But you got to repent. You got to believe the word of God. You got to accept it and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Finished works of Calvary, where he nailed yours and my sins to the cross and died in yours and my place. The just for the unjust. Till next time, we pray that God will bless you, touch your life in a way that you will call on him and give him praise and glory. Until next time, may God richly bless you and keep you, is my prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first